everybody, and thank y'all so much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives again with me, Cam Hale, and setting immediately to my right, the Beatles. To my juice, Mr. Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I am here in Hey-o. Skeleton Studios, a new updated Skeleton Studios. There's been a lot of changes going around here at Skeleton Studios.
Yeah.
We're building a new set. We got some things planned that'll be coming out very soon. Y'all will be aware of that when it happens. But yeah, there's lots of cool lights in here and changes. I walked in, I'm like, woo!
Yeah.
Look at this. All the fancy stuff, all the audio stuff. It's pretty cool. So I'm excited. It's giving me a boost. Maybe that it's the athletic greens I took this morning.
Oh,
but
for sure.
Man, I'm feeling good.
Dude, yeah. And y'all are going to get to see it. We're going to throw it on video. We're going to have some videos coming out pretty soon. So it's going to be a lot more on YouTube of videos of us in this crazy place.
Little Fizzy, more cryptid, Cameron's cryptid classrooms. Little Fizzy's been blowing me up about that because he goes, I don't know if I mentioned this before, I may have, he goes on YouTube and he reads the comments and he sees people asking.
He shouldn't do that.
They're asking for me. Yeah, I know, but he's 10.
Yeah, he shouldn't do that. He's going to find out some things when people say horrible stuff about his dad and his Uncle Cam.
So we went up to the corner store. This was about 2 weeks ago. I don't know. And, we went in there and we got like, I don't know, some soft drinks or whatever. And then the girl was like, I was like, hey, Luke, here's your drink. She was like, hey, I like your name. And of course, he's embarrassed.
Yeah.
He's like, Dad, I'll see you in the car. He leaves.
Yeah.
So I was talking to her or whatever. Well, we went back out and I go, Luke, you'll never believe what that girl said. He's like, what? I go, she said after you walked out, Luke, is that Lil Fizzy? And I said, yeah. She goes, oh my God, I'm one of his biggest fans. And of course, I'm making this all up. And Luke's like, really? So it made his week, right? Well, about 2 days ago, we went in there again and she was in there and she's like, hi, Luke. And he was like, I can't believe I got fans.
Here we go.
So he went out again. I told her the whole story. I was like, you know, just if he ever mentions anything, I kind of pumped his tires a little, you know, full of air. But so Luke thinks he's like, you know, YouTube famous.
Lil Fizzy.
It's funny to watch.
That's good stuff.
But man, what a creator. He is. Man, you got to come over and see some of this stuff. He has figured out a way to take a camera and he's making these stop motion films. And I don't even know what software he's using, but he has figured out a way to edit sound effects, explosions. And he's making like little Godzilla like movies. Like, it's crazy.
Can we run some on our YouTube?
I'm sure we can.
We'll throw some clips in whenever we do some more videos of Little Fizzy's like nightmares or whatnot.
Well,
have Little Fizzy doing
him,
some.
I want to get him to review some like old scary movies like Ghoulies 1 or something because he knows everything.
He knows them. Yeah, that's a good call. We may need to do that.
He's like, oh, yeah, no, Godzilla Dad was invented in 1954. Like, he knows. And I'm like, yeah, right. He's just making that up. I went and looked. No, he wasn't lying. That's exactly what had happened. You're like,
Obsessive.
Yep, I'm going to be babysitting Pop this week. My mom leaves for Mexico in the morning. And so I'm going to be over there at Casa de Filson, the Pop's house.
Pop.
And it's going to be Guy's Week. He's super excited. Of course, you know, I'll be grilling steaks and
Because he gets to actually like, and stuff. Yeah, smoke a cigar and drink some beer because your mom's gone.
Nobody will be busting his tail, you know.
Right? He'll be happy.
He'll be happy. What
That's
you been
all next
to?
Week, right?
That's next week.
Yeah, I'm going to have to come out there because, my family's going out of town. So I'll be, to Guy's Night. We're eating steaks.
My dad only lives like 7 miles from me.
Yeah.
So it's really close. What have you been up to?
Oh, just like you've seen it. We've been working in here in the studio. I've been messing around with that stuff and got my mother out of rehab, got her dropped back off at her place. She's doing good. So everything's kind of back on track again, getting ready to play some Dungeons and Dragons coming up. Because, of course, that's what Kyle and I do every Friday night is our D&D night. So
that's
we
right.
sit around and giggle and all that. But before we discuss any more D&D, last week I talked about the Mothman.
That's right.
The return of the Mothman at O'Hare Airport. Well, talking about that, we've also got to talk to Lon. And we're going to be going on Lon's podcast, Arcane Radio, coming up very soon. And then we're going to have Lon on ours discussing more of these sightings, more of this flap, if you will, of all of the wild stuff. But during the discussions of all this, something happened, folks, and I want to give you all this. There's a third winged humanoid sighting in Bensville, Illinois, that was recently reported. Yeah, Manuel Neverett, I've told y'all at UFO Clearinghouse, actually got this. Now, here's the date of the sighting, May 9th of this year, folks. May 9th, this happened approximately 1900. There were two people saw this, okay? Here's the details. I was out for a walk with my fiancé, enjoying the warm weather after so much cold. We were out by the basketball courts next to the Tioga Elementary, which is 212 Memorial Road, Bensville, Illinois, when we saw what looked like a large person standing on top of the building that was behind the playground. It looked like a tall person wearing what looked like a cape. This person then jumped off the building, and the cape turned out to be wings, which opened up and used to fly over us and out over the field and away. It was the darndest thing we had ever seen, and very, very scary and crazy.
I'll bet.
So there you go. They've actually spotted one. Now, apparently, this is pretty close to O'Hare. It's near O'Hare Airport. I don't know. I don't have the map of Illinois directly in front of me, but I'm guessing it's not far from there, from where this is. But anyway, they're going to do some more research on it. Manuel said he had actually reached out to them about more information, because he does. On most of these, there's a lot of digging that he does and actually goes back, and we'll talk about more. So that's something we're going to have to ask Lon about on this one too. So this is a recent development.
Yeah. And it seems like the Jeepers Creepers monster, you know, that's what it seems like. Now, I've never been to O'Hare. I have been to Chicago a few times. I always flew into Midway, which is a little smaller airport. But yeah, and I think, man, I'm missing me some Portillo's. But I saw recently where they're going to open up a chain here and near us in Dallas. So
Portillo's
I can't wait
is?
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
It's funny you bring it up. My friend Lex, she's up there right now in Chicago, and her and her mom and grandmother were just eating there.
Yeah,
she just posted a picture like an hour ago where they were eating there.
Yeah, it's good. If you like Giordano's is good pizza.
Yeah.
Check this out. We got a story from one of our listeners. It says, hello, I wanted to tell you about an incident I had with two dog men like creatures around 5 years ago.
Whoa. Not one, but two?
Two. Says, I'm a travel nurse.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm a travel nurse, and I had just finished working a 12-hour night shift at a children's care center in Gladewater, Texas. I was living in Jacksonville at the time. Cool. You know what, Jacksonville, Texas is where Bob Lee Bowes is.
Word.
So I need to get on down there. It says the drive time between the two towns was a little over an hour. The best route to get to this town's facility was taking a few back roads between the two. The road I saw these things was County Road 230, also called Swinney Road, that drove over two coves of Lake Tyler East. I was driving home around 5:30 or 6 a.m., and it was close to Christmas time. The outside temperature was around 30 degrees or so. I was driving around 55 miles an hour when I came upon the bridge that crossed over the first cove. I got the feeling that something just wasn't right, so I slowed down in anticipation of maybe a car being in the road or maybe a deer was going to cross. Either way, the atmosphere had changed, and I was feeling a little nervous. As I crossed over the Twin Bay Peninsula and began to get close to the second bridge that crosses over Omen Road Bay, South Bridge Cove, I saw what I thought at the time were two people in a ditch line on my right side. So I slowed down to around 35 miles an hour to keep from hitting anyone. This is where things take a turn for only what I can describe as one of the most bizarre and scary incidents I've ever seen. As I crossed the bridge, I noticed the first thing was digging, about 3 to 4 feet off the passenger's side of the car. The second was sitting, leaning forward on a small hill directly over the ditch line, and was approximately 20 to 30 feet from the first thing that was digging. I noticed the animal closer to the road was what I could only describe as having trouble moving. Have you ever seen a horror movie and saw the beings move in a jerking motion? Well, that's what this thing was doing. The animal on the hill never moved. The crazy thing, as if this wasn't crazy enough, was that both of the animals were moving in and out of a solid state of being, like going clear and then coming back solid again. They both had light black skin with gray hair. Their snouts were elongated and their ears were pointed straight up. The musculature of these animals was mind-blowing. Now, I'm 6'1", 251 pounds, and these animals made me look small. Their eyes never showed any signs of reflection and were as black as night. I did not see any tails, if they had one. I slowed down between 30 to 35 miles an hour because I was afraid the thing beside the road would get spooked and run in front of my car and cause damage to it. As I came off the bridge and began to move up the road, I passed the thing digging. It was 2 to 3 feet from the passenger side of my car. Neither one of them ever acknowledged me even being there. The one digging just kept on digging. The one looked out across the road, never diverted its gaze towards my car in the least. The one closest to me was hunched over and came up to the top of the Toyota Camry I was driving at the time. So I'm thinking it would have been somewhere between 8 to 10 feet tall if it had been standing upright. I would guess their weight's between 300 to 400 pounds. They were just about equal in size. I've never seen anything as muscular as these things were. I continued to drive, slowly, up to the top of the hill, and I stopped. I sat there for a minute and just tried to process what I had just seen. I put the car in reverse and began backing down the hill when what I can only describe as a voice or feeling in my head told me, "Okay, you noticed us, and we noticed that you noticed us. You need to leave now, or you will disappear." I took this voice's advice and I said, "Nope," and right out of the area I took off. Now, I was in the military for 18 years, and I've been a nurse for 12 years. My ability to critically think and assess situations under stressful situations has never been a weakness. I know what I saw and would have never come out with this if I could not be factual and precise with my location and information. I mainly contacted you hoping that other people have seen these things in the area as I did. If you do know of someone, please give them my contact information so I can talk to them. I'm not interested in hunting them or anything like that. I'm afraid the hunter, us, would become hunted very quickly. Thank you for your time. I found your show and have binge listened to every episode. Keep up the great work, Michael. Well, Michael, thank you for sending that in. I don't know what you saw, but I like the description of it kind of coming in and out.
Yeah.
Of like it's almost bleeding through a parallel dimension, another plane of existence.
I like the idea.
Right, where it's kind of going clear and then it's solid again. And, you know, maybe that's why.
Aren't you going clear?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's why people never find the bones of Bigfoot or Dogman or anything like that. Is maybe they are bleeding through a parallel universe. And that's why we never find them.
It's weird, though, like they always act like you can't see them. And then all of a sudden, you know, and then there's also times where they act like they see you the whole time.
Well, we've heard of people shooting them and it has no effect. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of things that makes it sound like it's not of this world. It's not a biological creature.
We don't get a lot of stories where you get more than one together.
That's true.
Like you've got two here. You know, we've done the story we discussed about the ones that surrounded the house. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
There's like five, six, seven of them outside. You don't get a lot where there's like packs of dog men, which are good. We don't need packs of roaming dog men, although that would make a hell of a movie. But like that, with the two together digging and working, like it's just strange.
That dude, strange is,
man, is, I love it.
An underdescribement of what's going on. I mean, yes, of course it's strange. Speaking of strange, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be sharing some more listener stories. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. You know, we say it all the time, but it's true. This show is built off of you, the listeners. Without you, this whole operation would have stopped years ago. And your daily emails remind me to keep going, that the subject matter we cover on each episode is important to people. What started out as a daydream is alive and well today, almost a decade later. On every episode, we implore you to send in your personal encounters or sightings of the strange, the unexplainable, the paranormal. And we get tons of accounts sent our way each and every week. They run the whole gamut, from a sighting of a ghost to encounters with aliens from another world or galaxy, and all things in between. Each of these accounts are special to the sender, and we're no judge or jury. We're not researchers, scientist or specialist by any means. We simply have a love for the paranormal
and want to share each other's experiences. On today's show, we're going to play some strange occurrences from some of our listeners. Enjoy. This first one comes from across the pond in the UK, from a listener named Mark. Apparently, he's one of those people who has had many strange things happen to him over his life, with multiple experiences, ranging from a strange green mist, an apparition of an old woman, to UFOs. I, too, have had a sighting of a strange, green-looking orb moving against the wind one evening while deer hunting just north of Skeleton Studios when I was about 12. Let's give it a listen.
Hi guys, Mark Freeborn here from the UK. Emailed a couple of times, but I can understand you guys are seriously busy with the amount you get nowadays. A reason for the phone call, been listening for a good couple of years, but also doing, you know, my best to catch up with all the old stuff. But one thing I've noticed is a lot of the times, you know, people you speak to about all the weird and unknown, they've never had encounters. So none of mine are particularly, shocking or out there. But I've experienced quite a few, so I'll try and do it in chronological order. So my first experience would be probably about 10, 11, where I had a friend stay over. Now, I'm sure you're aware of bunk beds. I was in the top bunk, she was in the bottom bunk, and we both sort of woke up around the same time for some reason, and there was a cupboard on the other side of the room, and there was a green mist floating in front of it. It was all a little bit sort of trippy, because I think we're at an age where we didn't really think of it being that weird. And generally just went back to sleep, spoke about it the next day. I did speak to her only a few years ago about it, just to like double check in my mind that it wasn't just a dream, but no, she confirmed it. So that was the first one. Second one, this one is a bit more intense. How best to explain it? If you remember back in the sort of early 90s, you would get these alarm clocks that had like the little red LED lights on the front that tell you the time, radio alarm clocks. Anyway, Mum bought me one, put it on top of my TV in the corner of the room. It's only a small room. I can't even remember if I tuned it in or set anything up on it, but I went to bed that night, and then middle of the night, I don't know, something just woke me up, and I looked into that corner of the room, and there was a white mist in the shape of a old woman, like in a shawl or something, that stood right next to my TV, right where that alarm clock was, and I could see through her, and I could see the lights on it, and I just shit myself, went under the covers, and God knows how long I just stayed frozen, fell asleep. Now the weirdest bit is when I woke up that next morning, I went over to it. Like I say, it was on top of my TV. Now, if you remember these old alarm clock radios, they would have a tiny little aerial on the back, all bundled up and tied up with a cord tie. And, you know, you're supposed to untie that and then string it up a little bit and you get a better reception. Now, I didn't do that. And I asked my mum, did you untie it? Because it was untied. She didn't untie it, I didn't untie it. Don't understand that one. UFOs, a little bit older, probably about 15. This is a very small incident. I was at my mate's down the forest, spotted a bright light in the sky. Even at that age, I was quite well into astrology and, you know, planets, stars, and I could tell this wasn't any of that, but it was there bright. And then a helicopter, like that was a helicopter, we could hear it, we could hear the, you know, the blades. and it flew straight up to this light, hovered a bit, and then flew away. And even at my young age then, I knew that that was completely against, you know, sort of flying regulations. So that was weird. Don't know what that was. Then UFOs again. This is going back about 10 years ago, and I actually reported this to my local airport, Bournemouth Airport, UK. I just went out for a fag, I don't know, 2 in the morning, and like I say, I know my stars, I know my night sky. I walked out there, it was crystal clear night, and I could see these three bright lights that looked like stars, but I knew that they weren't part of the night sky. I'd seen it so many times, that night sky. So obviously I was transfixed on them, thought, what's this? They weren't doing anything, they weren't moving, they were just there, and I knew they shouldn't be there. So I walked up the road a little bit, and that's when I noticed, I don't want to get too technical, but the parallax. When you can tell when something is closer than what's, well, something's further away from what's in front, so the houses in front of me, and then the normal stars in the background. Whatever these lights were in a completely different parallax to both of them. So a lot closer than the stars and a bit further away from the houses. So I'm looking up now and debating going to get my camera, and as I'm staring at these, they all go out one by one. And the reason I got hold of my local airport is because I saw a plane heading in that direction. So I actually sent a request. You know, did you get any reports from pilots? And they actually took it quite seriously, because my local airport is actually ran by a separate company in Manchester, England. And that's a long way from where I am. But they forwarded it to them, and I actually got a reply from them saying, no, we didn't get any replies. I was quite impressed by that. And then a couple of years later, again, out having a fag, middle of the night. And this is my weirdest one. This is about 3 o'clock in the morning. It's dead as a doornail. And I could just sense something big going above me. Very strange feeling. So I looked up, and I couldn't tell you shape, outline, size. I could sort of guess, because it blacked out the sky. It was silent. It was moving slow. It blacked out the stars. Didn't see any outline. It just blew me away. Very strange. And then my most recent one, poltergeist. And I don't know if this will make any sense to you, obviously being in America, but in the UK we have kettles, very simple kettles, you know, not ones you put on the stove or anything like that. They sit on a little base and you flick a switch at the back, you know, have to push it down, turns on. So anyway, I come home from work about 3 in the afternoon. Fiance's still at work, kids are at school, so I'm at home on my own. I don't drink tea or coffee. I never even touch the kettle. So I'm in the kitchen, I don't know, making a sandwich or something, and the kettle turns on. It's about 4 foot away from me on the side. I turn around, that's a bit weird. So the switch has gone down, so little light's on, saying it's on, and it's starting to boil. So I go over and I flip the switch up, and I don't know the right word for it. I can sort of figure out how to test things rather than just pass it off as, okay, maybe it's nothing. I thought, well, how the hell did that happen? So I tried putting the switch down and then just resting it on its cradle where it might just slip in. That didn't work to turn it on. I tried very gently pressing on the little switch to turn it on. It took a lot of force to get that to turn on. As far as I could tell, there is no simple way that that just turned on. Again, strange. But like I say, none of it's outstanding. None of it is, you know, I haven't seen Bigfoot come up to my window. I haven't seen aliens floating in my bedroom. But it just made me think of all the times where I've heard of, you know, UFO searchers and ghost searchers, or, well, not so much, but, you know, investigators or writers. And a lot of times they haven't seen anything. And funnily enough, I don't believe in ghosts. I do not believe in ghosts, but I've seen one. Well, what people would consider a ghost, so take that as you will. But anyway, there you go. That's my little story. Sorry it's long-winded and probably a bit boring for you guys. But they, I don't know. Strange. And there's other things as well. I've had the old hag, and but I'm not going to bore you with that. So anyway, keep up the good work. Hope this wasn't too much for you. Sleep well.
Wow, Mark. Thanks for sending that in. Next, we have a gentleman named Riley from Tennessee, who saw a strange-looking black orb just hovering over or near his yard in the sky one afternoon. What was it? A drone? A zeppelin or dirigible? Or perhaps a craft from somewhere else? Check it out.
Howdy, fellas. My name's Riley. I'm local here in Tennessee, about around neck of the woods of Gulletsville. This is a short story. Nothing too crazy from what I've listened from y'all. This is about my only and first experience with some UFOs. It was, say, 2014, might as well. I hadn't seen too many experiences with drones, so when my mother was laying in one of those reclining armchairs that you might find in some sporting goods stores, while me and my father were out in the backyard raking leaves, she ended up asking me, "Say, what do you think that thing is up there?" And I asked her what it was, and she said, "Is that a satellite?" I ended up going over and looking with her, and she pointed out what looked to be a black orb, is best my description. It was just sitting there a good, say, 1,000 feet in the air. Too far for me to be able to take a photo and it being anything more discernible than dot. So I didn't bother with that, but I sat there and pondered about it with her for a good 10 minutes, going through the different things that could be potentially. It didn't have any hovering, well, waving or floating about that you might have with a helicopter, or any kind of visible lights. I sat there with her for a good 10 minutes before she just got tired of it and got up and went inside. I continued to look at it for about a good another 15 minutes or so, and it had made no change in course or height and just seemed to be sitting there like a large period just in the middle of a blue sky. I can remember it was quite clear. Nothing of any determinable weather you were having. And as I was watching it, it looked as if someone just went up and flicked it, as it just took off into where my eyes couldn't see.
Wow. Riley, I don't know. I've received so many emails talking about the same thing. Someone sees something while driving or mowing their yard or out walking their dog, and it's this object, and it's just sitting there motionless in the sky. Doesn't look like a drone, doesn't look like a balloon. It's something else. I don't know. Thanks for sending that in. Next up, we have Pete, a former police officer from Odessa, who one evening was out driving late on a Texas highway with his wife when he had an encounter with the famous Marfa lights. What are they? What controls them? And why do they lurk and stay in that one area of Texas? Let's check it out.
Hello, fellas. This is Pete, and I was calling because I have my own Marfa light story to share. I debated whether to even call it in because it's kind of embarrassing, but anyway, been listening to you guys since 2015 or 2016. My wife and Jeff and I really enjoy your show. To set this up a little bit, I'm a retired cop from Odessa. And back in the early 90s, when I was a new officer, we had a guy come to work for us that was from Marfa. And of course, I would ask him about the Marfa lights and any other, I talk about the paranormal stuff with anybody just interested in it and wanting to hear their side of the story. And he shared with me that he used to work for the sheriff's office in Alpine, which is, I'm not sure the exact distance, but it's east of Marfa, probably 20 or 30 miles, somewhere in between there. And he said that when he was in high school, that it was kind of boring, and so a lot of times him and his friends would saddle up some horses and go out there to where the viewing center was, where people would stop to look for the Marfa lights. And he said they would carry flashlights with them, and then they'd put them over their shoulder facing towards where the people were watching, and then they'd ride away from it and flick on the light just to freak the people out and make them think they saw the Marfa lights. So I asked him, I said, so what you're saying is the Marfa lights aren't real? It's fake? And he said, no, they're absolutely real. He said, but we would just do that for fun when we were bored. He said, because you can't always see the Marfa lights. Sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't. That's when he started telling me the story about when he, later on, after he graduated, he was a dispatcher for the sheriff's office in Alpine. And there was a young deputy that... this guy that I worked with worked a graveyard shift. And he said there was a young deputy that would get off at 11 p.m. and he would go visit him in dispatch, and they would just, you know, shoot the bull. And that deputy would go home at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And he said a couple of weeks went by and that deputy wasn't coming by anymore. And he finally ran into him and he asked him, hey, what happened? He said, you don't stop by to BS during the night. And he said, well, he looked around, make sure nobody was watching, and he said, let me tell you what happened. He said that the last time he had stayed to visit with him, he's headed back home because he lived in Marfa. So he was headed on the highway between Alpine and Marfa, headed back, and he said, next thing you know, this glowing light came up behind his vehicle. It was kind of like a, I guess now you would describe it as an orb, but it was a glowing ball of light, and it ended up flying in his back window, and it ended up down on the floorboard on his passenger side. And of course, he got real scared and stuff, and it basically stayed there and rode with him up until he got right outside of Marfa. And he said at that point, it flew back out the window. And he got so scared that he didn't stick around at the end of the shift anymore, because what he was saying is a bunch of the Border Patrol agents and DPS troopers and some of the cops that work there in Alpine, they actually live in Marfa. So when their shift ends, or back then when it would end at 11 p.m., they would have a caravan of agents and cops headed towards Marfa. They all worked in Alpine. And he said after that, that deputy would jump in back with that convoy and head back. He said he wouldn't stick around and drive by himself anymore. That's how bad it scared him. So I had that story in mind, and our incident happened probably, it was during the winter of 2008 or 2009, because I don't remember if it was around December or January, but it was either that. It was probably around December 08 or January 09. It was during that winter. We had gone to a Star Watch party at the McDonald Observatory in Fort Davis. And it was my wife and I, our daughter, who was about 11 at the time, and then our son at that point. We had one that was about 2 years old, and the other one was probably 6 months old. And we'd gone over there, and it's a real neat deal. I will tell anyone that's planning this to get your tickets ahead of time. We didn't know you had to have reservations. So we drove all the way over there from Odessa, and luckily they're nice folks. They accommodated us. And so that afternoon we went and toured the actual giant telescope, and then we returned later that evening for the Star Watch party. And that was pretty cool. Really, the trip was for the kids, but I think my wife and I ended up enjoying it more than they did. I saw the moon so close with the craters, like you could only see in pictures. It was incredible. And they had another one aimed at Orion's Belt, and you saw those purplish pink nebula clouds that you see in books or magazines or on TV. It was the neatest thing. Anyway, we got ready to head back to Odessa, and when you come off the mountain and you hit the highway there in Fort Davis, we were supposed to turn left, which would have been north. And right when we got to that intersection, we saw a sign that said Marfa, and it was something like, it was real close to the south of there, and it was like 20-something miles, 22 miles, something close. And so I told my wife, I said, hey, there's Marfa right there. I said, do you want to... This was already late at night. And I said, do you want to go see if we can check out the Marfa lights? And she's like, sure. Because we didn't know when we'd have another chance to go back over there. I mean, we'd never been over there to begin with. And so we thought, well, we're already here. It's that close. Let's just swing by there. So sure enough, we did. And then that highway between Fort Davis and Marfa is where I had read about a Bigfoot encounter on the side of the road on the Texas Bigfoot Conservancy website. They have all the Texas sightings documented. And somebody from Midland said back in 78, him and a friend and his dad had gone to Marfa to pick up a car. They were going to drag back on a car hauler. And while they were headed back north on that same highway, they saw Bigfoot on the side of the road. So I told my wife about that. And we were headed south on that same road, so of course we're keeping our eyes peeled. We didn't see anything, but anyway, we get to Marfa, and they've got that viewing center right there, right off the highway, the same highway that leads to Alpine. And so we got there. There wasn't anybody else there but us. And this was like, it's probably something like 11:45 at night when we pulled up, and the two boys had fallen asleep in their car seats, and my daughter didn't want to get out and look. So it was just me and my wife. We got out and we looked over there and looked around, and we ended up we were disappointed. We didn't see any Marfa lights whatsoever. And of course, we already knew that you may not see him when you go. It's kind of a hit or miss proposition. So we're kind of disappointed. We get back in the vehicle. What I do remember is when we got back in the vehicle, it was exactly midnight when we got in there. And we backed out of there and we started headed back towards Alpine, which is not the way we had come in originally. But to get back home, it was closer to go that route. And so we started headed towards Alpine, and it was just within a few minutes that we had the hard thing happen. And we'd just been talking about how much of a waste of time that was to swing by there out of the way to go try and see the Marfa lights. When next thing you know, I noticed this light was behind our vehicle, and I first noticed it out of the side view mirror. And at first when I spotted it, I didn't say anything to my wife because I was thinking maybe it's a light on a tower at the airport, which, by the way, I don't know if they even have an airport or not, but I was trying to rationalize it. Anyway, I saw a bluish green light following our vehicle. It was probably the size somewhere between a bowling ball and a beach ball. And it was maybe 20 feet up in the air. And I couldn't tell you the exact distance, but it was somewhere about, it seemed to me it was 40 or 50 feet behind us. Eventually, I started speeding up trying to lose it. And it would, at some points I could see it and then I couldn't. So I finally told my wife and I asked her to look back, see if she could see this light. And of course she did spot it. And so I didn't realize how nervous I was getting, but apparently I started flooring it, trying to lose it. And we were both armed. And we don't go anywhere unarmed. But anyway, I didn't realize how fast I was going until finally she yells out at me, "Babe, slow down." And I looked down and I didn't realize it, but at this point I had been going 110 miles an hour trying to get away from it. I had a death grip on the steering wheel. I'm talking white knuckle. My heart was pounding. Eventually, I finally slowed down. I didn't realize I was even going that fast. And I was remembering that story that officer had told me about the light coming into the vehicle. So I didn't know what this was, but you would look back. Sometimes it was there and sometimes it wasn't. And I did slow down, and then eventually I didn't see it anymore. Like, it just disappeared. So we ended up going on in through Alpine and headed home. We didn't stop anywhere else the rest of the night. And we look back on it now and we laugh about it, but at the time it was not funny. It was not a laughing matter, and we didn't think it was funny. And yeah, I was genuinely freaked out. Kind of embarrassing now, because I mean, it didn't actually do anything other than follow us. And so we got more than we bargained for as far as our little expedition to try and see the Marfa lights. And just to tell you real quick, years later, when I was a lieutenant over one of the patrol shifts, I had a young officer that came to work on my shift who was also from Marfa. And I asked him if he'd ever seen Bigfoot out there, based on that story I was telling you, the one that had been seen on that highway. And he said that he told me that no, but that when he was in high school, there was a place where they used to go, him and all the high school kids would go hang out to drink and party and make out and all that good stuff that high school kids do. And he said it was about 6 or 7 miles outside of town. And the reason they'd go out there so that they would make up enough noise to wake up the neighbors and have the cops called on them. And he said this place they would go to was surrounded by these big rocks and hills on all the sides. And it was kind of like a horseshoe shape. There was one way in and one way out. And he said that's where they would go turn up the music and drink and stuff. And he said one night that one of the guys had gone over there to relieve himself in the dark. And he said he never saw a Bigfoot, but then he told me this story. He said what they saw was up on the hill watching all of them party was a little hairy person. He said it was like a Bigfoot. He said, but it was only 1.5 to 2 feet tall. He said it was covered in hair, and all they saw was the silhouette of it. And when they spotted it, they pointed and said, "What's that?" And of course, The girls started screaming. Everybody scrambled for the cars, and they got out of there. Well, I remember that story because I heard you guys read an email from someone back in, I don't remember if it was 2019 or 2020, but he'd been doing some kind of temporary work in Fort Stockton, Texas. And him and his daughter had gone out on the weekend to just look at the different rocks. And I think he might have been a geologist or an amateur geologist. And he said he was they were out there among the scrub brush somewhere outside on the outskirts of Fort Stockton. And the next thing you know, he said, you guys read a story where they were being followed by these little hairy people. It's like, and it was in the daytime, and it was like little short, tiny Bigfoot is the way he described it on the email. And of course, he didn't point it out to his daughter. His daughter was a little girl. And he said they were following them at a little distance. And he said there was a bunch of them. Well, when y'all read that story out on your show, it reminded me of what that officer had told me that they saw up on the hill over there outside of Marfa, a little hairy person guy. But anyway, I don't live in Odessa anymore. I live in East Texas now, between Caddo Lake and Lake of the Pines, the official Bigfoot capital of Texas, where the conference is. You guys read a couple of dogman stories, sightings over here in Cass County. Well, that freaked me out because that's the county directly north of where I'm at now. But anyway, guys, thank you. And if you want to hear it, I can tell you a story that happened to me and my brothers when we were kids. It was an experience with La Mano Peluda, which is Spanish for the hairy hand. And also my youngest brother had an encounter with a black dog at a crossroads one night when he was coming home from a marathon session of D&D with his friends. I know you guys are into that D&D, so that story might interest you. But, yeah, let me know if you want to hear those. And I've got a bunch of stories from West Texas and out there where a lot of weird stuff happened to my family and my wife's family, and just stories that have been passed down throughout the years. Anyway, enjoy the show, guys. Keep up the good work. And we still have family in Odessa, so we pass through y'all's hometown about half a dozen times a year, and we'll say, this is where Cam and Kyle live. We take I-20 both ways. Anyway, have a good one. Thank you.
Wow. Thanks, Pete. That's pretty cool. You know, Cam and I, we've wanted to go down to Marfa for years now, and hopefully one day we get to go down there and check that out, and maybe we too can have an encounter like that. Pretty cool. We have one more for you. David from Utah calls into the show to tell us about a few strange run-ins with a little girl throughout his whole life, who he feels is his unborn daughter. Check it out.
Alias, of course. I cannot use real name or real accent because, well, I might get in trouble for stating what I am about to state. I am from a little town in Utah, and I was working at the power plant. And we've had many, well, stories say that it is built on an ancient Indian burial ground. And me and a coworker of mine, I'll call him Wyoming, and we're down below the coal pile for the power plant, shoveling the belt line, cleaning up all the spill, and the power went out. Very funny, yes, but all the power went out, and we're slowly making our way out from about three stories underground when we heard voices that we couldn't quite understand coming from below us. So I turned off my headlamp that I had and looked down the stairwell from where they were coming, We didn't hear no voice. We heard the voices, but we couldn't see no lights. And it is pitch black down there to the point of you can't see your hand in front of your own face. And well, that was the first experience of that. And we kept going. A couple days later, he confesses that he plays with Ouija boards all the time and that he is very pissed off, that the spirits are very pissed off at him. And we're going down this quarter mile stretch of Beltline, and I have my external speaker with me playing music in alphabetical order. And by the time we get through, it has been 4 hours that we were on there. It only took us 1 hour worth of music to be played, because I went back from the time that we started to the time that we ended. And in that time, he had a bolt thrown at his head, knocking his hard hat off, sending it flying, and someone tapping him on the shoulder when I was over 50 feet away, because that's how far the water hose was that I was turning off for him was. And then someone tried shoving me down, and so we ran out of there, quite literally. And as we were going, we had a dark, shadowy figure running down the Beltline next to us. On the Beltline, neither of the Beltlines were running also. And in that time, we don't know where those extra 3 hours went that we didn't have, that we lost. The people at the power plant, they had called the phones on the Beltline that we were on. They were searching for us throughout the power plant because we were past our time to leave. And when we walked out, they said they sent two people up there looking for us, and they couldn't find us. But the entire time, we were running all the way down. I don't know if that was a ghost experience, alien abduction with a false memory, but after that, he quit going up and I started working on my own. And I was going down that Beltline on my own. And I bent down, the Beltlines were shut off again. And I crouched down to pick up the fire hose to clean with. And a piece of coal about the size of a cantaloupe went flying across right where I was standing before I crouched down and shattered against the wall. And in the portion that I was in at that time, coal that big could not fit through the screens that were there. And then after that, I just slowly kept doing my work, got done with that, no missing time. And then 2 months after that, I just got up. I was turning off the water, and I felt little hands grab the front of my shirt like you would grab someone's shirt to pick them up. But it yanked me down to the ground just as another giant piece of coal was flying across and would have taken me out. Because the piece of coal was just a little bit smaller than the other one, but still about the size of a cantaloupe. And I believe that that spirit that saved me was my unborn daughter that has not been born yet. Because I have had many weird experiences with this little girl. Back when I was at my parents' house, around 16, before I moved out, 18, we'd hear a little girl running around laughing and giggling. Me and my mom, we had one of my little sister's old hair ties that we thought we threw away all of them. So suddenly appear on the table in between us and fall on the ground as if the little kid was trying to set it there and they missed the table. And with that little girl, I also, me and my fiance, but my girlfriend at the time, were in, laying on my bed, door partially open. The door opened slightly. You could hear someone walk in. And my girlfriend at the time said, "I feel something here. It isn't dark or evil. It's just small and curious." So I asked her, "Well, what would you name your firstborn daughter?" She said, "Lillian." And so I said jokingly, "Okay, Lillian, could you give us a little bit of, could you give me and your mom a little bit of privacy?" And she will, whatever came in, you could hear it walk out the door and close the door fully for us. And I'm hoping to have more experiences with Lillian and see if, after I have a daughter with my fiance when we're married, if those little experiences stop. If they do, I'll know that my unborn daughter saved my life. Thank you for letting me have a chance to share my story with you.
Wow, David, that is a crazy story. And perhaps one day you'll get to meet your daughter. That would be really, really cool. Thank you all so much for sending your story to us. Perhaps this will inspire the rest of you out there to send in your story to share with Cam and I and with the other listeners. If you do, maybe your story will appear on the show and you will be forever immortalized on the digital airwaves, sharing your strange brush with the unknown. Once it's on the internet, unlike you, it will never go away completely. Let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Wow. Hope everybody liked those stories as much as I did. We get a ton of them, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much for sending those in.
I will say this.
Sure.
Man, I don't know if, like we said, I don't know if it's ramping up or if y'all are just being more open and sending more, but there is a lot of strange stuff going on.
There is.
There's a lot of strange sightings, a lot of strange like time slips, a lot of strange of like missing time. There's been a lot of stuff that's happening where it makes it like it feels and makes everyone, a lot of the stories feel like things are out of sync.
Yeah. Right?
Like that's where these things, these popping up. It's wild.
Kind of like Ghostbusters, how it's like ramping up.
Yeah. That's what it feels like.
So is it really ramping up or is it because of the popularity of podcasts, because of the popularity of TV shows that people are feeling there's not that thought anymore like there was a couple generations ago? People feel okay coming forward and telling their story, because I know if you turn on television now, there's five or six different paranormal television shows on. I mean, it's everywhere, from hunting ghosts to, you know, what happened to an eyewitness.
That's true.
And podcasts, there's tons of paranormal podcasts now. So do you think just overall people, you know, something strange happened to them, say 30 years ago, they were afraid of judgment, so they never said nothing, but now it's like everybody's sharing, so they're like, oh, okay, well,
Maybe I can come forward and tell my story without a fear of being judged.
Well, I think you're onto something, because I do know that we have received a lot of stories from people like in their late 60s, in their 70s. I mean, we've even received the stories from people, even in their 80s, who maybe have never shared it, but because of maybe their children or their grandchildren listening to shows like this and watching, let them know, hey, you remember that story you told me when you were a kid, that happened to you? Would you tell me again? They tell you, then they go along and, hey, can I share that story? And it gets passed along. I think of the ones also, too, that are lost, like the ones that you can't get people. Like we'd talked about a long time ago, all the stories that Mr. Christensen had collected that he can't discuss. Now, remember, we discussed them. And he told us several of them, but he had them. But a lot of them that's written, like he can't release them. The way it was put together, he can't. The people don't want it released. They just give it to him for this whole deal. And there's a lot of those out there that are very disturbing. And some of those hold like even more keys to things than the ones that get published or the ones that find out. I do think it's getting to be a more friendly, more opened arm, more inclusive to allow these stories to be shared. And other people are coming forward, like the last few that we've had. And they're like, hey, this happened to me. Did it happen to anybody else? Because I want to make sure I'm not going crazy. And then, boom, this much like the trash bag Dwendies.
Speaking of trash bag Dwendies, I got one for you here. Check this out.
Go.
It says, I'd like to start by saying I'm a skeptic that's a believer. I've seen a couple of things that I can't explain. But generally, I feel like a lot of things in the wheelhouse of the paranormal likely have a very mundane explanation. So I'm a believer, but I'm cautious about it. I'm a welder, and I live in Central Virginia and work north of Richmond in a town called Ashland. Like most people that work in the trades, I start work early and leave work early. It's both a blessing and a curse. A few weeks ago, I was driving home west on the Patrick Henry Highway. It was early afternoon, very few people were on the road, and that's when I saw it. A shape hovering just above the ground, moving in a strange, jerking, tumbling fashion. At this point, it was probably 100 or so yards in front of me and moving towards me. It was a trash bag, floating towards me in an odd, awkward, tumbling way. Now, normally this wouldn't be super strange, a piece of trash blowing in the breeze. But there were two problems with this option. For one, it was raining pretty hard. And raining hard enough that if it would knock something down out of the air and pin it to the ground. And the second problem was that the thing was carefully following the edge of the road, right where the asphalt turns into grass. Carefully following that line as the road curved and climbing the slight hill. That's when I started to get excited. I've listened to your show for years and have heard all the trash bag creature stories. The gears of my brain started turning. Questions like, what makes flaps of creatures like that? What's the nature of this phenomenon? Is this so co-creation? Lots of high-minded questions of the paranormal. I watched it intently as I rolled towards it, and it jerkily tumbled towards me. And then, in an instant, it came into clearer focus. I could see it for what it was. The biggest gosh darn snapping turtle I've ever seen in my whole life. Huge. Just smudgingly walking right down the side of the road. I'm not sure if it was supernatural or not, but that sucker was huge. Sorry for the anticlimactic story, but I thought y'all would get a kick out of what our brains do when we get an idea stuck in there. Kyle. Well, you're right, Kyle. Sometimes I think you have a strange sighting and you almost want it to be paranormal, and then it turns out it's not.
Yeah.
It's very something very mundane.
Well, and you can understand it too with rain splattering on the windshield. It's going to look like things are herky-jerky moving. You can understand.
Sure.
It. Yeah.
Sure, but that's correct. And that's like why we don't believe every story that's sent into the show, because there's lots of them that's like, man, was it that, or could it have been a bear, not a Bigfoot? Obvious things.
But it's awesome. You got to see the giant snapping turtle.
Right, a giant.
That thing's cool, man.
Huge snapping turtle.
Yeah, that thing's awesome.
And speaking about sharing stories with the show, please, if you want to share a story with me and Cam, do not hesitate. Email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Call the show, 888-393-2783. You can leave us your story. We would love to hear it. You don't have to ask if we would like you to tell it. We want you to tell it. Just go ahead and tell us. If you don't want to use your real name, make up a fake one, or just tell us not to use your real name. We'll make up a fake one for you.
I love it. Just tell us to. Yeah. just tell us, make up a name for me. That's all you got to say, and we'll leave it at that.
And speaking of losing stories to time, if you know any really old people or you're really old yourself, man, interview them. Take down their sighting and story and send it on into the show.
Yeah.
Because once they're gone, those stories are gone forever, right? You can't find this stuff in a book.
Mm-mm.
I know that there's plenty of situations in my life with one of my uncles and with Jim Mars where I meant to sit down and talk to him about stuff and I just never did, and now I can't. Right?
Yeah.
One of those things. Cam, what do you got planned for the rest of your week?
I don't know, really. It's kind of up in the air. Probably more getting stuff ready for the videoing is probably all that. And I might even paint a miniature or two, but that'll be about it.
I can't wait. Let's thank our sponsors right now. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Just go to athleticgreens.com/expanded. And Felix Gray, go over there. Do you have the promo for that? I do. Oh, wait, here I do. I got it right here. I'm sorry.
I'm like,
for
he's
the
got best me looking around.
Blue
I'm
light
like,
glasses on the
I
market.
It?
Yeah, it wasn't refreshing. Right? For the best blue light glasses on the market, use our special URL. That's felixgrayglasses.com/expanded. I hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.